Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast, and my co-host from the library today is
Stacy.
And our guest today, we're very excited to welcome, is
Lucy Knightley.
Welcome to Turn the Page podcast, Lucy. And today is another edition of our special extra episodes during the COVID-19 crisis. And Lucy, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do? I mean, we know, and I'm sure most of our listeners know, but just for those who might not.
Sure. I'm a comic author and artist. I make graphic novels, mostly focusing on sort of memoir-style work. And I've, in the past few years, become a parent, and that has been the focus of the last two books that I've released, Kid Gloves, which is about the process of becoming a parent and also sort of the history and superstition of reproductive health. And Go to Sleep, I Miss You is a collection of my sort of journaling comics from early in my young son's life. So I've been making these works about parenting and about sort of the modern experience of parenting right now. And at the moment, I'm sort of, whenever I can, squeezing in the time to write about parenting during the coronavirus crisis.
Which is really, it's a real thing. I mean, Stacy and myself, we also both have young children. I have twins who are going to turn 5 in 10 days.
Wow.
Oh, I forgot they're turning 5.
Yes. And we usually had a first birthday party for them. Usually the last few years, we just do something with the family. But this was the first year we decided to do a birthday party with them for their friends. And that's not going to happen. And we had to explain.
Aww.
Yeah, we had to explain that to them. And luckily, they took it well. And we're setting up a video chat where their friends can sing happy birthday to them. But it's really heartbreaking because it's difficult to understand. They don't understand at that age. And Stacy,
right.
How old is Harrison?
Harrison is almost 4 months old. So for me, it's just this coronavirus is just pretty much like super extended maternity leave.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got like the order to stay home and like, don't leave your house right when I was about to go back to work.
Like, literally, we had a program at a coffee shop that night that we were presenting, and that was it. And yeah, so it's like extended extended maternity leave with a little extra anxiety.
Yeah, of not being able to go out or do anything, or what are we supposed to be doing?
And Lucy, I know you refer to your son as Pal in your comics. How old is he now?
He is going to turn 4 in June, early June.
So it's like they're all kind of at this age where they're sort of unaware. But I know for myself and my kids, and I'm sure for your young son, it's like a complete difference in, you know, how, I mean, I've never been a big germaphobe before, but, you know, I've always been, you know, a fan of basic hygiene. And now I feel like I'm asking them to wash their hands. I feel like I keep joking. It's like, what is it? Like Pulp Fiction. I'm like, your hands, did you wash them? And I'm trying to explain to them without, you know, like, I don't want to give them too much anxiety, but they need to understand how important it is that we don't see your grandparents, even though we really want to. And it's very difficult. And you've been journaling it's been a very, I would say, cathartic process to watch as a parent. Would you like to just talk a little bit about some of the things that you've been drawing and trying to work through?
Sure. I'm experiencing a lot of the things that most parents are right now, which is desperation and everybody is experiencing these things, but it is really unique to being a parent of a young child that you now are really your child's entire world, and you're not just responsible for yourself. You have to sort of share the burden of your child's anxieties and try and give them this sparkly, happy childhood in a pandemic. And it's just impossible. It's impossible. And, we can't do it. There's a reason why they say it takes a village. Like, we're all cut off from our villages and we're trying to do this in our homes, and it's just impossible. And we've been doing this for 4 weeks now, and we were in the city, we were in Chicago, and trying to explain, why we can't go to the playground, but then we would walk past the playground and there'd be kids playing there. And my son would be like, see, it's not against the rules. And I'd be like, well, I don't know how to argue with you. You're three and you see someone else doing it, and that means to you that it's like fine.
Right.
So it's heartbreaking. You have to tell them like you can't see your friends. We live like five houses down from my son's best friend, and we would step out the door to take a walk or a scooter or something, and we'd see them, and we'd have to physically hold them apart. And it was just heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's tough. They, I'm trying to work from home, and I'm trying to also try to supplement whatever schooling I can. And at one point, one of my sons said to me, I really don't like mommy school. And I said, I understand. I'm not your teacher. I'm not your friends. It's a completely different experience.
Yeah.
So, you have an upcoming book called Go to Sleep, I Miss You, which as a parent is like one of the most real statements. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm releasing two books this spring, Go to Sleep, I Miss You, and my first middle grade book called Stepping Stones. And let me tell you, it is a very odd time to be coming out with two books.
I
could only imagine for either of them. Like, I'm just, I don't know how to sell them. The publishers are kind of scrambling to figure out what to do, and I'm not crazy about being on camera, so I have to make all these videos and stuff where I just look shell-shocked in all of the videos. I'm like, my kid's like on the other side of the door, pounding on the door, like, So it's a weird time to be promoting my book, so I always come off kind of weird sounding talking about my book right now. I always feel like, it's a book. something that I was talking about yesterday with my therapist, and I hope you're all meeting with your therapist.
I think this is a time period. I think that if anybody had ever thought about not, like, said, nah, I don't think I need therapy, I think this is a time period where we all need to acknowledge that therapy is extremely important. Keep your mental health in check.
Yeah, definitely. And parents, just, any kind of self care that you can get in there is really important. And I was talking to her about this yesterday. I was talking about how this period reminds me a little bit of the newborn period, which is the subject of Go to Sleep, I Miss You, this newborn period where you're very raw and your emotions are very close to the surface and you feel very, very vulnerable. And meanwhile, you have suddenly stepped into this very, very public role where all of your actions are open to such scrutiny publicly, where all of a sudden, because you have a child, all of your choices have to be questioned and all of your behaviors have to be scrutinized by the public world, which is so awful. And it's something that I really struggled with when I had a newborn, is like this idea that I would take him outside and people would be like, he's too little to be outside. He needs a hat. He's cold. He's hot. Like,
oh my God. Yeah.
Everybody has a judgment.
Yes. And now it's like everybody is their own newborn parent for themselves. They're all like, you know, should I go to the store? Should I wear a mask? Should I not? You know, and you post anything online and it's open to this kind of like, your mask doesn't work. You shouldn't be going out. Was that a necessary trip? And the thing, mm-hmm. it's very reminiscent of that because everybody feels very vulnerable and is open to the same sort of scrutiny right now. And it's really kind of bringing back a lot of memories of that time.
Same here. With the boys, when they were born, it was like you didn't know what day it was. You didn't know what time it was.
Right.
You don't remember the last time you ate, but you know you're hungry. And, you know, my husband and I and Stacy, I know, we're all fortunate enough that our jobs are allowing us to work from home, but there's no 9-to-5 mm-hmm. hours. So we're always on. And I'm constantly making coffee, and it really does feel like those early, and I'm super, super aware of my boys' health. Every noise they make, if they sound like they're mm-hmm. coughing, if they sound like they're sneezing, it's, what was that? So it is, it's very reminiscent of that time.
Yep, totally. What did you put in your mouth?
Yeah, exactly. You know, but now like they'll ask, like now they're asking me questions, and I guess Stacy, you're not at that point yet, but, you know, like they're a little bit more aware of the
world. Pterodactyl.
Excuse me. So Go to Sleep, I Miss You is about those early days. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
yeah.
And I think
it's
you bring
my coping. Comics is how I process the world and kind of understand what I'm going through. And so I started jotting down brief, very messy comics about what I was experiencing in these early days. And I felt like I was going insane, and I felt like I was doing everything wrong, and that clearly I was the only person to be messing this up in the history of child rearing. And I started making these comics and throwing them up online, and it was this real pleasure for me to see how many parents responded in kind and were very understanding and sympathetic. And this is why I make comics, both to process the world and to feel less alone and to hopefully make other people feel less alone. And right now we're all trapped in our houses feeling very alone. So it's nice to see people making work right now and trying to process all of this, but I am trying to be kind of easy on myself and not force march myself to the desk. I'm juggling childcare and work right now. And my partner is working full time because his job, like, he could potentially lose it if he doesn't. So we're trying to make it work, and nobody is succeeding fully at that, but we're getting by.
And I think that it's important to note that that's kind of the normal for so many of us now. It's really very strange times. In one of your virus diaries, you mentioned, looking at your son and like feeling so like sad that this is his childhood. And I certainly, I get that. And I know so many parents are feeling that right now. It's, you know, and it's not necessarily like a feeling to feel good that we all share, but there's comfort in knowing that you're not the only person feeling these things.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that they're not the only kids going through this, that they're going to have peers that understand is comforting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, same here. And as I'd mentioned, you know, when I read Kid Gloves for the first time, and I recommend to all of our listeners, definitely, check out Lucy's work online, but buy her books because they're amazing.
So good.
And with Kid Gloves, there was a lot that you talked about that I know I went through as a prospective parent and then a parent, and it's things that people don't talk about. And even in this time period, you know, there's a lot of pictures of just the good times that are shared, and, you know, a lot of judgment about how everybody should be doing things. And the point is, you know, we put so much pressure on ourselves to do things a certain way, and everybody just has to do the best they can.
Yeah.
So,
very well said.
Yeah.
The end of Kid Gloves is about a difficult pregnancy going really wrong medically, and that you can kind of do everything right and be very healthy and try and, do this thing that's been done since the dawn of humankind and before that even, and still the medical aspect can just go so tragically wrong. And so this is a similar situation to that, where we're all sort of trucking along as usual and trying to be healthy, and now all of a sudden medically we're all kind of in jeopardy.
And I think, like some of my coworkers have mentioned, it's very strange to be even consuming media where people are together at a party, and you look at this and you're like, you can't do that now. We were watching a commercial the other night, and my husband's like, no, you need to be 6 feet away from the other person. It's so.
May I recommend Jane Austen novels? Because nobody gets closer.
That's actually a really good point. This is a good time to brush up on those Jane Austen novels.
It really is. It's like a perfect, perfect opportunity. And I've been listening to an audiobook Mr. Darcy Takes a Wife, which is like published fan fiction about Pride and Prejudice.
We talk a lot about published fan fiction on this podcast.
Oh, good. It's one of my favorite things to talk about, too.
Yay. I formally invite you back after this is all done to talk about your favorite published fan fiction then.
Good. We could do an entire episode just on
yes!
published fan fiction that she wrote of her own work.
So Mr. Darcy Takes a Wife.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, Mr. Darcy Takes a Wife.
Another thing is, I know that a lot of people prior to this have been adopting foster animals. And I know recently you have, I hope it's okay to say, you lost your cat, Linny.
We lost her over the summer. She was 17. Aww. It's a very long life. We got her when she was 4 from the shelter, and so she was with us for a very long time. She had a very big personality, such a little cream puff. And she, as she got older and I kind of sensed her coming to the end of her life, I started making comments about her to kind of cement her in my mind and record her personality. And they were weirdly very popular comics for people that I was I felt like it was such a specific thing to me, where I was like, this is how my cat talks, obviously. And everyone was like, yes, this is universal. This is all cats. This is the way they all talk. And I'm like, no, this is my cat in particular. I started making these comics about my cat, and then everybody got super invested in her. And she was this very old cat. And I was trying to prepare everybody. I was like, look, she's very old. She's sick. We're sort of giving her IV fluids. And then she passed away very peacefully this summer, and I was devastated for months. But we have a 3-year-old to keep alive as well. So we were all right, we're not getting a pet for a while. We need to focus on keeping the humans in the house alive. Particularly because towards the end of her life, it was a huge hassle. I don't want to say that I was resentful of it. I would have continued to give her IV fluids until the day I died, but
it's tough.
It's a lot to take care of an ailing pet in the end of their life. And so we were all right, we're not going to get another cat for a long time. And then, the coronavirus happened, and we were we're trapped in this house and we have to work and take care of our kid. And, we can't go outside to get, we usually, when we're all feeling bad, we go to there's this place called Garfield Park Conservatory in Chicago, which is this beautiful indoor garden conservatory. And it's so beautiful. And we all feel so much better when we leave that place. And we couldn't do that. We couldn't go outside. We couldn't see friends. So we were just kind of devoid of all of these things that give our family hope and happiness and outside delights. So after Linny died, I had gone to a cat cafe, which is also a rescue, in Chicago to kind of get myself some cat love. And I started following them on social media, and they were sending out pleas for rescue homes for the cats. So they were sending out pleas for rescue homes for these cats. And I said, oh, we've never needed a cat before. So I'm going to be this very selfless person and take in one of your poor homeless cats. It's like begging them online, like, please give us a rescue. Please, please give us a foster cat. So we took in this cat that is about 40 pounds and like the shape of a croissant. But he's gray and he's very like burly, and he has a tiny little meow. And aww. I just can't tell you how much like relief it was for me to have a cat back in the house right now. Just like an animal that doesn't care or doesn't know and is totally unaffected by the world events at the moment has just calmed my mind so much.
I definitely could understand that. Yeah, I have a cat who's 21. So, you know, I'm not sure, you know, obviously, I feel you when you talk about taking care of an ailing pet and then also taking care of children and, you know, but there is something, it is calming. And I think it's beautiful how many people have taken in animals during this time period.
Really nice.
So, I just, Stacey, is there anything you want to add?
No, I just think it's really cool. Sorry, I got distracted because I was looking at your Twitter, Lucy, because I see photos and videos of the cat, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I really want an animal now. we can't get a cat because we have too many family members that are like super allergic. So we have plans to eventually get a dog, but. My husband and I joked because for us to kind of, well, go through walks in our neighborhood to kind of like decompress a little bit, especially if it's nice out. And I'm like joking with him. I was like, you know, it's a good time to kind of get a dog. We're home. We could train it. We could,
right.
Should we do this? And I mean, both of our parents, my in-laws were like, train your child first, like be with your kid first. And I was like, I know, but I've been with him for like 4 months. I'm like, I think I have it down. Like he'll have fun with an animal. He's seen a dog before, but I mean, we're not going to do that. But it's nice to know that people are fostering and adopting animals. Like I saw something in the news about like a shelter, like they're all cleared out of the cages now. Yeah. And I'm like, yay. But awesome. No, I'm very excited for your books also. Cause I just saw one of the promo things. I'm excited because I've read all of them except Relish. Cause I came across you. I actually read, your other two books, like at the perfect time, because I read Kid Gloves when I was pregnant with Harrison. And I don't know if you saw, our library did an Instagram of it, and I did, we call them book faces. So I happened to have a yellow dress. And
she did a book bump.
A book bump with Harrison. Thank you. My coach was like, we're trying to figure out like a great thing that we could do. What are we going to do? And I was like, I don't know, like this works. And then I read something new as I was planning my own wedding.
Oh, perfect.
So those were fun. And then I was like, oh my God, she has more. This is so cool. So I'm going to binge read.
Oh, good.
All your stuff. So.
And I recommend.
Yeah, no, they're really good and relatable. So,
thanks.
So, I just wanted to thank you for lending your time and your voice to us during this time. And I think, you know, you really, whatever little bit you're, you know, everybody's doing, I think you bring up a good point for parents, for artists, for everybody. Be kind to yourself during this time period.
Definitely.
And once again, I'm going to say, when this is all over, I am going to be contacting you about favorite published fan fiction, because that is a fun topic.
Wonderful.
So
yes, I will fully go on record saying this on the podcast, because we talk about reading books and whatnot since we're librarians, that regardless of that people can't concentrate reading at a time like this, even like I am devouring reading and reading a lot. I'm just not reading legit books right now. I'm reading fan.
Right. Yeah. This is like fanfic time to shine.
But fanfic, yeah. But again, and this is like kind of crossing over into the other subject, like fan fiction, it's legitimate now. I mean, there's so much. And I think looking back, there's so many things that we have that's, you know, that have been published for years that has been fan fiction, you know, maybe sponsored by a company, but I don't know. I mean, you know, if you want to think about it, the new DuckTales, which is awesome, by the way, is fan fiction. bring it to comics. Anyway, once again, this is Jessica with
Stacey
and
Lucy.
And we thank you again, and we hope you and yours are all staying healthy and safe during this crisis. And check out Lucy. Lucy, where can people find out more about your comics and your books if they would like to follow you?
You can go to stoppayingattention.com, which is my website, and it'll get all my stuff, including my Twitter, which is just consists of pictures of my foster cat at this point. And my Instagram, which is where I've been posting most of my comics, and my Patreon, which will get you even more comics. And links to lots of places to find my books, but also you can just call your local librarian, maybe when this is over.
Absolutely. All right. We are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.